been planted for this season. And I'm going to grow. I'm going to advance, produce, succeed, rise, unfold, stretch, mature in this season. I'm a growing woman. Dear growing woman.
Hey, 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 and welcome back to another episode of the Dear Growing Women podcast. Yes, welcome back. There are several other episodes before this, so if this is your first one, go back, listen to the rest, especially episode one, where you get the understanding of what this season is all about. Let's jump right into this week's episode, Be Honest. So growing up, I used to hear all the time that honesty is the best policy. And we all believe that, right? We believe that telling the truth is the best policy. It's the best thing for the greater good. It's the best thing for discipline and punishment sake, right? But your parents might have a little bit more grace if you're honest with them than if you tell a lie. But we're going to be talking about honesty in a different way. When was the last time that you were actually intentional about being honest with where you were, being honest to the T with carrying out what it is that God told you to do? When was the last time that you allow the instruction of God to make you new? When was the last time that you sat in God's presence, just raw and open and honest and saying, God, this is where I am. This is what I have. But God, this is what I don't have. And this is where I need help. Sometimes we walk in such a picture of like delusion where we feel like, you know, God, I'm doing the best I can. And I'm trying my hardest. But the truth of the matter, the reality of it is, the truth, the genuine part of this is that you're not. Ask me how I know. I know you want to ask. Because it's a struggle. It's not a struggle to be an honest person when it comes to like having integrity. But being honest sometimes with God, because being honest with God means we're forced to be honest with ourselves. Anywho, I'll go into more detail as to how this kind of came about in a raw and honest moment. I told you that I would be vulnerable this season. And so I've said this time and time again. This is real time. My journey into just being who God called me to be, okay? Who I was created to be. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, the books of Samuel are probably my most favorite. This is reading about Saul, who has been anointed king because Israel wanted a king, right? And in the process of that, Saul goes and he starts feeling himself a little bit. And the Lord ends up rejecting him. And so in chapter 15, that's where we pick up where the Lord ends up rejecting Saul. And I'm going to kind of skip a couple verses. But so Samuel was the prophet who was conveying God's instructions to Saul. And Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people Israel. Now, therefore, listen to the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I have noted what Amalek did to Israel in opposing them on the way when they came up out of Egypt. Now go and strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So the Lord sent the instruction through Samuel, and Saul got to work, got into action. So Saul leads his soldiers into war, and they defeat the Amalekites. Skip down to verse 7. And Saul defeated the Amalekites from Havilah as far as Shur, which is east of Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and devoted to destruction all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag. And the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fattened calves, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. All that was despised and worthless, they devoted to destruction. First of all, Saul, okay, first of all, the Lord didn't say to spare the best of the best. He didn't say that. That was not the instruction of the Lord. As a matter of fact, he said to destroy everything. And what's more innocent than an infant? And the Lord said, destroy that too. But you spared the king. You spared the best of the sheep and the oxen when the instruction from the Lord was to destroy everything, right? Ooh, I'm going to keep reading because it gets gooder, as some people say. Verse 10 says, the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I have made Saul king. Now, this is the Lord talking. He regrets that he's made Saul king. For he has turned back from me, from following me, and has not performed my commandments. And Samuel was angry. The prophet was mad. And he cried out to the Lord all night. And Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning. And it was told Samuel, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set up a monument for himself and turned and passed on and went down to Gilgal. Saul was feeling himself. We feel ourselves sometimes when we feel like we have accomplished something, when we, you know, made our best judgment call. There are times where we set up these monuments for these moments that work in direct opposition against what God said. Anywho, verse 18, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you pounce on the spoil and do what was evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me. I have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and I have devoted the Amalekites to destruction. But the people took the spoil, sheep and oxen, the best of the things devoted to destruction, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. I'm going to stop there, okay? Stopping there. So it was easy for Saul to go fight, do what it is he needed to do. But when the instruction from the Lord was as simple as it was, just destroy everything, devote to destruction at that, everything. And Saul was like, nah, I'm going to spare the king. You know, I want to bring him back as a trophy. We have seasons in our lives that we bring back things that we should probably destroy as a trophy. Something to make us feel good. Something to remind us that, oh, I'm that girl. Sometimes we bring things that are sentimental into new seasons of our lives, not knowing that those things, although quote unquote sentimental, needed to have been put to rest, devoted to destruction. The Lord immediately highlighted to me was that even in all that Saul was saying as it pertained to defeating the Amalekites, as the Lord asked, when he was questioned about it, he threw the blame on someone else. He wasn't honest. He was not honest to the prophet, thus not honest with God. And Saul was operating in some delusion, because dishonesty, first of all, is a work of pride. It's a symptom of idolatry and a manifestation of ego. Here's the thing. Saul was king. He can strut in that. Like, I'm king. Like, I can do as I will. I can go as I please. I can kill who I want to kill. I can rule how I want to rule. But the Lord appointed him the Lord allowed him to be appointed as king over Israel. That pride in being a king to show other kings in the land, in the surrounding lands, that, oh, I got him, I can come get you too. We do that. In the weirdest ways, we do that. And it's a work of pride. It also is a symptom of some idolatry. You might not idolize people. You might idolize yourself, your self-image. You might idolize your reputation. You might idolize your resume. You might idolize your creative mind over God. It reveals that there is something in us that is taking precedence over our loyalty and our obedience to God. The next thing, it's a manifestation of just ego. Like, dishonesty is kind of like, you know what? I don't owe you anything. And we say that a lot. Like, I don't owe you anything. When the truth of the matter is, sometimes we do owe people some things. The next thing about being dishonest is it breeds delusion. And the end of it is forfeiture. How does this come in effect through this scripture? Well, after Saul disobeyed the instruction from the Lord, he was rejected and removed as king. And his journey as the king of Israel became 10 times harder because the Lord had rejected him. And as you know, if you keep reading, the Lord raised up David, who became the king. He wasn't perfect, but he became the king. And only because he was honest with God, like straight up honest with God about, like, Lord, this is where I am. This is what I got. This is what I don't got. And because of that, he was a man after God's own heart. I was listening to a song called New Wine, and the Lord confronted me pretty violently, if I might say so. Sometimes the Lord is gentle, and sometimes he's just not. And in that moment, he just was not. And it wasn't a forceful anything. It just hurt my little feelings. It did. It hurt my little feelings. So I was listening to the song New Wine, and in the song, she says, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Make me your vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. I came here with nothing, but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Then she raises it up. Where there's new wine, there is new power. And I'm just like, yes, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. And just in the most still voice, Holy Spirit said, how can I bring new wine if you refuse to get rid of your old wineskin? First of all, respectfully, enough, right? And I was like, well, you know, Lord, I've surrendered this and I've surrendered that. And, you know, I've let you in this space and I've let you touch this. And I sound like Saul, don't I? Well, I killed all of this and I did this, but I did spare the king. And it wasn't me, but the people did that. I sound like Saul. In that moment, I was like, ooh, you're not being honest. Because not every part, not every piece, not everything, you have fully surrendered to God. It hurt. Because honestly, this journey of saying yes and just being and walking in the fullness of who it is that God called me to be, like, it's still some work. I have not arrived. And that was very clear. The scripture about wineskins, I went and read it after that moment, after I finished crying. Matthew 9, when the disciples of John went to Jesus and said, why do we, this is verse 14, and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the wedding guests mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth, and it's known as new cloth, on an old garment. For the patch tears away from the garment, and worse tear is made. Verse 17, neither is new wine put into old wineskins. If it is, the skins burst and the wine is spilled and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved. I literally had a fit Sunday. I had a fit Sunday because my pastor started talking about the old wineskins thing, and I was just like, oh my God. You think about having an old pair of jeans and you buy a new pair of jeans to take part of the cloth to patch an old pair. First of all, the colors are not going to match. One. Two, you know when you get new clothes and then you finally wash them and the materials do some things. And it's going to make it worse. But then the wineskins thing. So Jesus is the new wine. Like, it's the new wine. That's the fresh wine. How can I put what is new in something old, something that is already conditioned for a particular thing? It could be a religious tradition. It could be a family tradition, whatever that is. How can something new dwell in the old? It can't. So in order for us to move in the direction we need to go, which is forward, in order for us to do that, we've got to get rid of the old. And first of all, we got to be honest that God, there is some old here that I need to kind of relinquish and I need to give up. There is some old here that is causing me to disobey the instructions that you gave me. There is some old wineskins here. And God, while I'm trying to reach for what is new, while I'm trying to reach for what you're calling me to, I'm still trying to put it in this old vessel, in this old thing. And what he's asking for us, from us today, is to turn over the old and fully receive the new. So that looks like changing some things. It looks like cutting some things. It looks like allowing God to take the things that might not be sinful, but they might not be expedient for your journey. Surrendering those things to him. Surrendering our plans, our agendas, our itinerary, our timelines. Surrendering our hearts. Surrendering our relationships. Whatever it is that does not fit where God is leading you, that you've been kind of just dragging along, he's asking you for that today. But let's pray. Father, I thank you for this moment in time. I praise you because you are so good to us. You are so, so good that we don't deserve it, to be truthful. All of the things that we hold back from you when you ask of us for them, out of all of those things, you still choose to be with us. You still choose to call us. And we recognize that you were fully intentional and you were fully cognizant and it was fully planned for you to call us even in our imperfected state. I pray, Father, that we will learn to, one, be honest with you so that we can be honest with ourselves, knowing where we are, where we're not, what we've submitted, and what we have not. And then, Lord, I ask that you give us the courage to submit and to surrender day by day, choice by choice, moment by moment. I pray, Father, that you would cause such an awareness to come upon us that areas that we've not submitted, where our ego and where pride has reared its ugly head. I pray, Lord, that you would be merciful to us and that you would give us grace as we journey through this. Make us aware. Give us a heightened sensitivity of the areas that we've not let you touch yet. Even the traumas that we've not let you touch. Make us aware and give us the courage to submit and surrender. We don't want to walk into this next season with old on us, trying to contain new and fresh things in old baggage and old containers. Thank you, Lord, that you are making us new day by day, moment by moment, choice by choice. And I thank you that even in 1 year from now, when we look back at today, we will be able to see how far we've come. Thank you so much for your grace, your mercy, and your love towards us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.